Let's first talk about just our general weather season thus far. You know, this spring seems to be a little bit more quiet than springs in recent history.
Yeah, it sure has. You know, it's been fairly active as far, you know, our rainfall is pretty normal across the region. Even had some wetter periods, but as far as severe weather, yeah, it's been pretty quiet. We've had, you know, some severe weather with damaging winds and hail, and we've had 15 tornadoes total in the region that our office covers, which is parts of four states. But that's actually probably pretty close to normal, but we've had no really strong or violent tornadoes. So that's the really good news. And fortunately, as a result of that, have not had any real casualties.
One topic of conversation, June 1st, I do think it began hurricane season.
That's correct.
The Atlantic hurricane season. And the prediction level is at average for this year?
It is about average and possibly even trending toward below average. And the El Nino phase that we're moving into is going to have an influence on that, it's believed, and that will hopefully keep the number of hurricanes at or below average.
Explain El Nino to our listeners.
Yeah, El Nino, believe it or not, that the ocean temperatures around the globe affect the weather patterns. There's that ocean-atmosphere interaction that takes place, and El Nino is warmer than average temperatures in the equatorial Pacific region. And that affects the weather here in the United States, particularly the West Coast, the southern tier of states, and it kind of depends, too, on the season. But our region here, the impact is fairly minimal. It at times can cause more active weather, but we're kind of in a little bit more of a neutral zone as far as the impacts from El Nino.
Does it affect the jet stream and, the wind shear and wind moving in off of the Pacific coast?
It does. It can bring in systems with stronger wind, and when you get stronger wind, that can pick up moisture off the ocean, and that can certainly bring increased precipitation in some areas. And hopefully we can get some of that in areas that have been, you know, really suffering with drought conditions and even dangerous fire conditions.
But as far as El Nino in our part of the country, you say minimal effects. And that means, does that mean we're coming out of a La Nina phase?
We have. You know, we've been coming out of that. It's kind of one of those things. It sort of lingered, the La Nina phase. And that's not uncommon. We think we're coming out of it, and then it kind of hangs on for this one probably really hung on for at least 6 months to a year longer than we thought it would, and you know, then we went into a neutral phase for a period, and again now in the El Nino phase or going into it, and that's common. We typically, you know, a year or two we're in one or the other, and then we transition out of that eventually, and then usually toward, you know, the opposite.
It's also not uncommon for our part of the country to be impacted by large tropical systems that move in through the Atlantic. We had wind damage years ago. Was it from Hurricane Ike?
It was, yeah, yeah. September 2007. We had winds, through western Kentucky and adjacent areas, we had winds that were above 70 miles an hour. Quite a bit of damage occurred with that. In fact, that was one of the worst disasters in Kentucky history as far as the total damage figures from that event. And, you know, that's because you get those sustained strong winds. You don't just get the gust like you get with individual thunderstorms where you got it, you know, 30 seconds or a few minutes, but it lasted for hours, as everyone may recall, that Sunday morning in September of 07. And we actually had a wind speed recorded of 100 miles an hour that was up along the Ohio River. So it was quite an intense and unusual. It's not unusual that we get the remnants of hurricanes, but with that system, it actually maintained its intensity as it moved up through our region, if not even intensified a bit, as the center of it was in Arkansas and headed across our region. So we have to be aware of that. And not, of course, only the wind threat that we sometimes get, but even more frequently we get the heavy rain threat from the hurricanes or remnants of hurricanes moving up through our region.
As we move to the summer, it's no secret that it gets hot here and very, very humid. How have we fared so far
Yeah, so far, you know, we've done pretty well. You know, we certainly have warmed up in recent weeks, and we begin to feel the impacts of the heat and humidity, but certainly nothing like we're capable of experiencing in our region here. When the heat indices, which is a combination of the temperature and the humidity, when those start getting up around 100, that's when it starts to begin to feel really uncomfortable and can be dangerous if we don't take actions, and especially 105 or above. And to mark that, we issue heat advisories when we get heat indices up around 105. So especially if a heat advisory is in effect, or even more so an excessive heat warning, which is 110 or above heat indices, that's when you really need to be cautious and slow down. If you can remain indoors, do that. If you're used to working outside, even then you need to take frequent breaks and ensure you drink plenty of fluids.
You know, many folks will say, well, we had a really cold winter, so that means we're going to have a mild summer, or we're going to have we had a really, really hot summer, and we're going to have an extra cold winter. Or are there any real correlations between season-to-season temperatures?
Yeah, there are some patterns that we have seen. You know, sometimes when we have an El Nino period, we can go into a colder winter than usual. But really, there's it would be nice if it was just as simple as that. But it is just there's so many factors that come into play. And for example, especially in the wintertime, something we look at is called the North Atlantic Oscillation. We talked about El Nino and La Nina, but really, the North Atlantic Oscillation can have more influence on our weather, especially temperature-wise, than El Nino or La Nina. And that's basically this big high that sets out over the Atlantic Ocean, and that can drive, depending on where it's situated, can drive that colder air into our region during the winter. So that's something that we look at, and especially it's good for a week or two out to see what kind of weather pattern we're going to have. So while there are some correlations, there's numerous factors that come into play and can change things.
And I guess the last question is lightning in general. Have we seen any increased risk of cloud-to-ground mm-hmm. strikes?
Yeah, and that's the ones we're most concerned about. There's actually cloud-to-air, cloud-to-cloud, and cloud-to-ground. And, of course, the ones cloud-to-ground are the ones that where we're at. So we have seen an increase, of course, with the spring time. We see more thunderstorms. But, you know, we get thunderstorms, of course, all summer, and we have the convergence of more people outdoors in the summer along with the lightning. And that's the time of the year now through, you know, throughout the summer, even into the early fall, where we have the maximum activity outside and the lightning activity. And that's when we see most of our casualties in our region from lightning. So, you know, the main thing there, if thunder roars, go indoors. If everyone would just abide by that, we would keep people safe and not have to worry about the lightning. That's all you got to do is get indoors anytime you hear the thunder.
Does a covered porch count as indoors?
It is better than being out in the middle of, you know, an open area. You're the tallest object if you're in the open area. Like, for example, if you're out on the lake in a boat, you're the tallest object out there, so you're the most likely location to be struck by lightning. But the best option is to get indoors. You know, if you are caught out somewhere, if you have a vehicle around, get in your vehicle. Don't touch anything metal, which generally is not a problem anymore because most vehicles tend to be more molded plastic and things on the indoors. But get in your vehicle if you're out somewhere. If you can, get into a building.
Well, Rick Shanklin, you're the Warning Coordination Meteorologist at the National Weather Service office in Paducah. Thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure. Great to be here.